Okay, friends, I don't know if you can relate, but as we start to enter into the fall season, it also feels like we're entering into the busy season. The schedules feel a little more packed, and the meetings are a little more back to back to back. And in the past, I've noticed that with that, my health and nutrition kind of takes a backseat, which is why I'm so happy to have Factors, no mess, no prep meals in my back pocket. I always know that I can meet my wellness goals with Factor, with their chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto, because Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy I am, I always have time to enjoy those nutritious, great tasting meals that I need. So make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? Factor has 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week. You'll always have a new flavor to explore. And you can crush your wellness goals this month with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust, which is so important. So head to factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50 and use code barbknowsbest50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BARBKNOWSBEST50 at factormeals.com/BARBKNOWSBEST50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
I was victimized, and many of us in life today are victimized, but not owning that title for myself. Because I always felt like if I called myself a victim, it put me into that poor me category, and it took my power. And I never wanted the person that took my power and that sexually assaulted me to be the winner.
Hi, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, and I am sitting here with my mom, Barb, and we're so super jazzed to be back with you all this week, chatting again about life and its most interesting topics. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How you doing?
I'm doing really well, as you can probably hear from my voice.
Your voice actually sounds a little high right now. There she goes.
Sure. Well, sorry about that. I'm not sure if it's allergies, if I'm getting a little bit of a cold. I've been traveling a lot, and yeah. I know you've said
there's a lot going around this summer. Everyone be safe. Stuff is going around.
But I feel great. I feel really, really good. So,
well, we might get a raspy, deeper voiced Barb today, and I'm here for it.
It is funny because my voice is deep naturally. So yeah, you get an even deeper Barb.
You know, it's for me, it's the Phoebe Buffay of it all. When she gets sick, she likes it. She likes the sound of it. So lean in.
I love that. I sure will.
Lean in, Barb.
And I couldn't be happier about this topic because I know it's something that you have been asking me about. And we've talked about it a little bit probably since day one of starting the podcast. So
I'm excited. I think this is something that people ask you a lot, maybe not necessarily on the podcast. I mean, probably yes on the podcast too, but in our other work and on social media, because I think that this concept is kind of your bread and butter of your work, maybe. And it's, for me, it's how you, okay, restarting. For me, it's how I just said the same thing. For me, this concept is what I know you as far as the starting point of a practice or connecting with yourself or anything like that. This is, it's just you and a topic, I guess. There's no other way to say it.
It's very funny the way that you just described that, but it's
I don't
true.
Even know what just happened in my brain.
Well, let me give you all just a really very short foundation or a backstory. If you've been listening to the podcast for the past couple of years, I am recovering from bulimia for 40 years. October 31st, 2024 would be 40 years. I went into treatment at 28 years old for bulimia, 6-week treatment center stay. And when I got out of treatment, well, obviously in treatment, not obviously, I don't know what it's like today, but I learned how to meditate and did yoga and just all about mindfulness and being present. And it was based on the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So when I got out of treatment, I knew that I had to find a version of what was happening on the inside there in treatment and take it to the outside. Meaning I found a therapist, and then I went to AA meetings and did all the things that I needed to do in that regard. But I thought I also wanted to learn. I had heard early on that one of the things that matters most to me is this idea, we're here to learn, we're here to grow, and we're here to become. I think you hear us talk about that a lot. So it was just this very passionate belief that I had to go find all the things that I needed, basically, i.e. my practice, that I could do every day so that I could stay in recovery and continue the growth and the excitement that I had leaving treatment, that I started to actually know who I was and become myself. So I say all of this because it started with quotes. It started with me reading all of the great teachers and masters and mystics of the world, and it started with their words. It started with a sentence here in a book, or it started with a quote that I had read about another person who had said, I deeply admired, or that really touched my heart and sparked my interest in using that person as one of my teachers. So I think I've kind of become the quote lady. Especially on the internet. When we started Facebook, if you follow our nonprofit Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life on social media, on Instagram and Facebook, really it was all about me putting up quotes. Every day I would put up an inspirational quote to live by. Mm-hmm. So I kind of thought of this as, these are my words to live by. These are words that have touched my heart deeply, and they help reminding me daily of who I am, why I'm here, how can I lead the life that I deeply desire to live, and so on. So it's their quotes, and they're famous, maybe not all of them famous, but just very deep, quotes, important quotes and words of masters and saints and mystics and teachers that I have read over the past 40 years.
Yeah, I love it. And I feel like, you know, we started Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life back in you started it in 2011, and then getting on social media in 2012. And that was what we did. We posted quotes and inspiration of the day in a different time of social media. And I think the intention of it was always to help people and to give some sort of bright spot or inspiration or positive note or small reminder throughout the day. And that was always what you did for our lives personally as well. You know, we've talked about it on the show, reading passages and books before going to school, or writing on my mirror before school, or just sending, you also are always a card person. You write cards. So sometimes you would just leave a card with a nice message. So that's been a part of our lives personally, as well as in your life on your journey, and kind of planted that seed for me in my life, because I've always loved quotes too. I remember as a kid, I was always buying quote books.
Well, I think poetry runs deep in our family. My mother was passionate about poetry, and she read a lot of poetry. And so I think it just kind of filtered down into who we are. And it's certainly a huge part of my life. And then for as long as you've been on the planet, I was in recovery when I had you as a little teeny tiny cute little baby.
Well, yes. When you had me, I was a baby.
Yes.
If you had me as an adult and I came out as an adult,
that would have been interesting.
That would be different.
So it's been part of your life forever, and it's been part of my life for a long time. And we are still doing that today. So if you want to go check out Peace of Mind, Peaceful Life, and oftentimes I put a lot of this on my own social media, and as you do as well. So,
well, the concept of starting your day, you say often you can start your...
How you begin the day sets the foundation for the whole day.
And that was a big cornerstone of your practice, which is why you would often read a passage or write something on my mirror in the morning before going to school. And just as a sidebar, that also is the inspiration for my book that's going to be coming out next year.
I was hoping that you would say that. I was hoping you would say that.
If you haven't seen on social media, I officially do have a book coming out in 2025.
Yay, yay, yay.
Which is in this vein. I haven't really shared a lot because there's still more to come, but this is like, if you're listening, if you're a podcast listener, you'll get a early insight of what my book will be. And it stems from this concept.
And I think it's important to set this foundation because everything we're going to share with you today is really steeped in the belief that the outside world is unpredictable, chaotic, and is constantly sending things our way that we have to manage and that we have to figure out how to deal with because we can't change anything out there. We can't make a decision or change what comes at us in the outside world. Our power lies in how we respond. And so for me, reading all of these great humans that came before me, generations before me in many cases, some of them are currently, you know, living in the same generation that we all are and all of that kind of stuff. It's like having the toolbox to at any given moment take out one of the tools that's going to be exactly what is needed in the moment for whatever it is that life is sending my way. And I think that's why it resonates for people. And that's why people love it on social media so much. And they love it when I do workshops and they love it when you and I talk about it because it is so powerful. For me, it is the antidote to all of the chaos and the things that are happening in the external world. I take a deep breath and I remember one of these quotes, or oftentimes now, because I've been steeped in these for so long, they come to me as a rescue. They'll come to me, you know, like a Maya Angelou quote will come to me. Every storm runs out of rain, and I'll just take a deep breath and say, okay, this too shall pass, which is an affirmation that I use. So you can kind of see how all of this fits together a little bit. Like, this is the toolbox. This is the kit that I think that, or a piece of the kit, if you want to call it that, but it could actually be its own kit. If you just did this for the rest of your life.
Toolbox.
It would be a huge addition and a life changer, I believe, for most people.
All right. So without further ado,
let's get started.
These are the quotes that have changed your life or have shaped your life or have deeply impacted your life. There are a lot, I will say. I had this idea to do this episode and you were like, well, there's so many. How is this going to fit into a show? And I said, okay, we'll start. And if we run out of time, we can do another part down the road. So this is not an all-inclusive list if we don't get to them all. But these are the quotes that really had an impact on you and I would say maybe planted the seeds and set the framework for doing the work that you're doing today.
100%. I love that, Michelle.
And I love that you said also that they could become this toolbox for anyone if they resonate with you for your life as well. So let's start.
Let's dive in. And there are a lot. You're right. There are a lot. And what I thought we would do, it looks like you want to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to start, but if you have another thought.
No. I was just going to say there are a lot. And I thought the way I kind of laid this out in our discussion today is I thought I would start with the one that opened the door to all of this for me.
Yeah.
But then as I looked at some of the other ones, they kind of all center around loving ourselves. Trusting ourselves.
You can tell she doesn't want to leave out any of her children as quotes. Like she's like, oh, but I don't, there's all of these and they all are so meaningful to me and they're like my babies.
Well, I think they are like my babies because they're so powerful. For me, they've been life-changing. But what I want to just say that it's helping, these quotes help me come back to the present moment, understanding that I have no control in the outer world. And I have 100% control on how I'm going to respond. So it really reminds me daily that my control comes from the inside out, living my life from the inside out.
I will say,
it's okay. And not being at the mercy of the external world and not giving up my power. These quotes help me come back into my power.
I will say if we ever had an episode where I did the same and talked about quotes in the same vein for me, your concept of you can't control anything that happens in the external world, but you can manage your responses to it is one for me.
So, I think I taught you bonus. That from day one.
Yeah.
Because it's so, if we don't get that, and that's what I'm going to share right now, that's the first, when I got out of treatment, the first inspirational book that landed in my lap was Scott Peck's The Road Less Traveled.
Right.
And I think everything is just so divinely planned or in the perfect order. We get things to us at exactly the right time. I'd never heard of Scott Peck. I'd never heard of that book. And so someone had given that to me. And when I got out of treatment, I thought, I had this idea that once I was recovering from bulimia, once I started therapy and going through all of the traumas that I had endured as a child, I thought then life out there would be easier. I thought things would be easier and I'd kind of be fixed, so to speak, and that I could go out into the world. And, you know, of course, there's always going to be challenges, but nothing would really be overwhelming. Well, so when I picked up The Road Less Traveled and read that first paragraph, I was shocked. So the first paragraph of The Road Less Traveled is this: life is difficult. This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. It is a great truth because once we truly see this truth, we transcend it. Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. Because once it is accepted, the fact that life is difficult no longer matters. Profound.
Yeah.
We could actually just stop right there.
We could.
And talk about this whole quote for an hour. It I guess, answered my question that no, life is not necessarily going to change on the outside world just because I'm in recovery and that I'm in therapy and that I'm little by little by little by little growing and becoming the greatest version of who I am from the inside out. What it did do, though, is like, oh, wow, I had my focus on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Being in treatment and then coming out and being in recovery and living the life that I chose to live in recovery didn't mean that life out there was going to get easier. It meant that I was going to become stronger in how to handle what happens out there. And so this quote is so incredibly powerful with so many ways, but, you know, just really getting at it simply, it is true. Life is difficult. That's just the way it is. Life is difficult. We often many times wake up in the morning or halfway through the day, we say, oh my gosh, this is so hard. This is so hard. This is so hard. So life is difficult. But the powerful part of this quote that truly has transformed me is that knowing, like deeply knowing it, not knowing it just in the head, but knowing it in the heart as well. Like, know that I know. I know that I know that life is difficult. I know that I know that now that I understand that concept and that truth that life is difficult, I accept it. And so it's become part of me. So when life out there gets difficult, it doesn't mean that I'm not agonizing or sad or having all the same feelings that we would have when life gets difficult. It means that it doesn't matter that life out there is difficult. What matters is, how am I feeling about it? How am I internalizing it? What are some of the steps that I can take to feel the feelings that I'm having, to move through the difficulty or the trauma or whatever it is that's happening in life? And sometimes when it's major, like my divorce, it can take years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the greatest part of this quote is, it's okay that it might take a long time. It's okay that I may never be completely healed. I'm in the path of healing. And so it really, that acceptance of that, when it says that once it's accepted, the fact that life is difficult no longer matters, gives me a great sigh of relief. Wow, it doesn't really matter that it's difficult. It matters how I keep learning and growing and becoming the greatest version of who I am. And that's doable. That I can do. The thought that I had to change the outside world, which is what I originally thought, is impossible. Can't be done. So I was setting myself up for tremendous failure. So I am incredibly indebted and grateful for the person that gave me this book when I got out of treatment.
Who did give you the book? Do you remember?
One of the people in treatment.
Mm. So this quote, we could do a whole episode just on this quote alone, because I remember when I was kind of starting on my journey, doing yoga teacher training and getting into meditation and mindfulness and cultivating a relationship with myself, you were telling me about this quote and I was so against it because I guess it's part of the journey. Like you said, you start to come back home to yourself and you think, oh, everything's great. I'm going to be living in this flow of life and everything's going to be seamless and I'm not going to have these struggles because I finally found that golden ticket to living in this new way. And I think maybe we all have that thought for a moment about life, especially when we're younger. And I certainly did because I'm like, great, I'm releasing toxic relationships. I'm becoming my own best friend. I'm in therapy. I'm learning dysfunctional parts of myself and blah, 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 blah. I'm meditating. I'm all of the things. And so I'm like, I'm thinking positively. I know the importance and the power of my thoughts and my mind and, you know, being a creator of my life. And so life doesn't have to be hard because I can create it that way. And I had such this naive belief that life could be easy. And so when you were telling me this quote, when I was in my 20s, I was so opposed to it. I remember we had so many conversations about it because I'm like, no, I just don't think that this is true. And you said, okay, just, all right, you, whatever you think, this has been what's really true for me and it's helped me so much. And, you know, I am not ashamed to say that I was wrong because this quote, it is everything in one. It encapsulates life, but also tells you how to move forward. And I think the biggest piece for me, even though this isn't about me, is that it's almost, you know, as if you can just admit to a truth and accept a truth, then you can know what to do with it. And I think that that's true with anything in life. If you can be honest with what is with yourself, rather than resisting or pushing it away or trying to paint it as something else, then you can get to the bottom and be clear with yourself of how you want to move forward. And what better place to start with this kind of thinking than the grand scheme of life, rather than feeling like or setting ourselves up for failure that life can be this easy, magical, you know, journey, which of course it has aspects of that. We can be rooted in the reality of its difficulty, of its challenges, of its suffering, and then not let that define what we're doing and who we are.
Exactly. And it also keeps us from adding to the suffering. You know, we've talked on previous episodes about there are two kinds of suffering, suffering that leads to more suffering and suffering that leads to the end of suffering. So life has suffering and pain, just as it has joy and love and all of the things. So when I think about this quote from The Road Less Traveled, it helps me get grounded in truth, for one, as you were just saying, Michelle, but it also has helped me come back into the present moment and gain my power and know, okay, let me now feel this. It keeps me from living in the past. It keeps me from living in the future. And it keeps me really grounded in the present moment. And one of the things that I want to say as we move on into this talk today and this conversation is that you don't have to read The Road Less Traveled if you don't want to now. And I think that's what people have said to me so often in the 25 years that I've been giving workshops and talks. It's like, wow, you just helped me. I don't necessarily need to read a book. I actually, the things that you talk about in these quotes and these powerful words that people have said that have walked this path before us are self-contained. Like, this is a self-contained quote. You don't have to now go read more if you don't want to. You can, and that's certainly what I did. That's a whole nother episode in our podcast about all of the things that I've read and the works that I have done with my readings and the teachings of all of the people that we're talking about today. but you don't have to. So I think that this is why I've started with this, is why I'm so grateful for this one, because it actually sets the groundwork for, wow, this is so important for us to understand and accept this, because this is truly everything that we can do to live our lives from this platform.
Mm-hmm.
And why this is kind of the diving board into everything else for me, or it has opened the door to everything else for me for the past 40 years, is when I understand and accept that life is difficult, I actually can take a pause and look at, as I was saying before, my feelings about it, but also how then can I look at the thoughts that I'm thinking that are maybe leading me to suffer even more because of all the stories I'm telling myself. So when you believe this truth, it just kind of keeps you grounded in the moment, which I just said. And what it did was it led me to my Angelou.
Can I just say something really quickly before
Sure.
you? I also think too, the concept of that quote of accepting the difficulties of life, because once it's accepted, it doesn't matter, also has helped to mitigate feeling like a victim of life. And that was a big thing that you always said to me as a kid, don't be a victim, don't be a victim. And I can think of so many times in my life where I'm like, why me? Why is my life this way? Why does this have to happen to me? Why me? You know, why is life so hard? Why is this so hard for me? And this quote has really helped for me personally to flip that mindset as well, where it doesn't matter because it is. So what am I going to do with it? And if you're feeling, I think we all go through phases where life is really hard and we're like, why me? Why am I going through this? But this quote was kind of the antidote for me when I was going through some of those times where I just felt like a victim of life. And it, you know, life is hard and there are no quick fixes when going through difficult times, but it was almost an antidote to remind me that, okay, it's hard, but it doesn't have to define my whole life. And I do have power here to choose how I'm going to respond.
I'm really glad you said that, Michelle, because I want to back up just for a second about two words that you use. First of all, victim. I'm also recovering from or healing from, you know, sexual abuse as a child and all of that. And it was really powerful for me in treatment and going through therapy for that sexual abuse that I endured to make sure that I never called myself a victim. I was victimized, and many of us in life today are victimized, but not owning that title for myself. Because I always felt like if I called myself a victim, it put me into that poor me category and it took my power. And I never wanted the person that took my power and that sexually assaulted me to be the winner, to be the one that could say, oh, I took her down. You know, nothing in the external world. We have the power to rise up and do the work that we feel like we want to do to be the person that we feel like we are and not allow another person to take that from us. So I want to just make sure that we're clear that we are often victimized in life. But I never claim the word victim to define me.
Yes.
And so the other thing I want to also make clear, and when Scott Peck says that the fact that life is difficult no longer matters, he's not saying that it doesn't matter all the atrocities and all the violence and all the horrific things that are happening in the world around us, the suffering and the sorrow and all of the things, the wars. Oh, he's not saying that none of that matters. He's not saying that the external world doesn't matter.
Right.
He's saying that once we accept the fact that life is difficult, it no longer matters that we try to figure out how to undo the fact that life is difficult. It no longer matters that we got to figure out why is life so difficult. What matters is that we sort out, okay, how am I responding to either cutting it short, the difficult nature of what's going on, or doing the work that I need to do, and what are the feelings that I'm having? Like, we do the work to move through the difficulties of life.
Mm-hmm.
We can't stop life from being difficult, but we can shorten the time that we feel that we are suffering from the difficulties of life, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We can do all the inner work that we need to do and feel the feelings, because nothing prolongs suffering in my life more than pretending like it doesn't exist, or pretending like life wasn't so difficult, or, oh, this is okay, that doesn't matter, or this wasn't that bad, or I can't feel this because it's too hard, or whatever it is, having those ideas that I can move through life without actually acknowledging what has taken place inside of me. So I hope that didn't get too confusing, but I just don't want anyone out there to think that it doesn't matter what's happening out there. And so we become numb to it, or we become immune to it. That is not true whatsoever. It actually empowers us to take a stand wherever we feel called to take a stand, mm-hmm. or empowers us to work through, as I just said, the feelings or what's happening, and see if we want to take an action.
Yeah.
And sometimes the action can be, especially with some of the, you know, as I said, the tragic things that are happening in the world, sometimes the action can be just to pause during the day, take a deep breath, and send loving kindness. You know, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. I use that every single day of my life. I say it often when I'm feeling that there's some suffering and some tragedy happening in the world that I'm a million miles away from, but I want to send my well wishes, my love, my kindness to them.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've listened to the show, you've heard my mom and I talk about how much therapy has impacted both of our lives. We've basically been in therapy for our entire lives. But we also know how difficult it can be and feel to actually get therapy into our lives, whether it's a busy schedule or not knowing where to go or who to trust or just the financial component and commitment therapy actually is. We know it's challenging just to get started. But we also want to reiterate how beneficial therapy can be, whether working through our issues or really understanding who we are and what we want in life. As I've said, therapy is a game changer. And so if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Never skip a therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/barbknowsbest today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/barbknowsbest. If you ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy, don't worry. I am right there with you, which is why I'm so excited to introduce you all to Sunbasket. Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more meal planning, no more stressing about nutrition, and no more grocery shopping, which was a big plus for me. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious, with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week, with options like Mediterranean, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten-free, all featuring organic fresh produce, which is super important to us. There are truly options for everyone. Plus, you don't have to lock in one type of meal. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for each and every week. They even have a pre-made meal option as well that are just as tasty and ready in 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you have to do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. And I'm so thrilled to share a special offer for our lovely listeners. Go to sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
I love it.
So the
now you know why you were worried about not being able to get through so many, because one, each one is very loaded.
Well, because words matter, and we know how, you know, when you use the word life is difficult, when you understand it no longer matters, it really can get, you know, convoluted in what that exactly means. So after this, I really got steeped into reading all the great teachers, masters, mystics, saints, poets, all the things. And a person that really crossed, I'm a rights activist, women's rights, social rights, gay rights, all the rights, believing strongly that we're all created equally and that we all have a right to live the life that we deeply desire to live, as long as we're not causing harm to others. I really live by the belief that cause no harm to any living being. So that's kind of a little insight into my being. And so I started really reading the words of Maya Angelou. Because I ran across this. I was having a very difficult time not too long after treatment, going through therapy and all of the feelings and the things that were coming up. And I read this in one of her books, Every Storm Runs Out of Rain. And it might seem like a really simple, nothing sentence, but when I read that, I'm like, yeah, it does. Talk about that being a great truth. It does. Storms don't last forever. And that took me really down a path of everything is always changing. Nothing in life is permanent. So I really got into this whole idea of the impermanence of life. And that fed into that once we actually understand that life is difficult, it no longer matters because it's going to change. It's always changing. Life is always changing. The external world is always changing. Nothing ever stays the same. Life is impermanent. We are impermanent. And so it really took me down a path of understanding that this too shall pass. That nothing lasts forever, which is very huge for me. So I just love the analogy that Maya Angelou talks about here. Every storm runs out of rain, because I'm such a visual person. And it just went deep into my heart. Just like so many of the words that she said. So if you're called to explore Maya Angelou more, I highly recommend it. Some of her other quotes that she's really helped me with so much is, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's become a big one, I think, in the past several years, as a society tackled narcissism and boundaries, and how do we stay in our own power? How do we stand up for our own truth and all of the things that we've been talking about a lot over the past couple of years as a society, on social media especially. And then this is the biggest one, I think, that changed my life. As I was going through therapy, quite a bit of therapy, there was a lot of shame and a lot of blaming myself and a lot of feeling like I could have done this differently. Why didn't I? What's the matter with me? And this quote from her literally stopped me dead in my tracks and really went down a really deep path of how do I really believe this? Because for me, everything is about believing it. If I believe it, then it's going to show up in my life. If I believe it, I'll see it start to show up in my life. I'll see my actions start to be different than what they might have been if I didn't believe a truth. So forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you learned it.
Mm-hmm. Which we've talked about that one a lot.
We have. And I just want to add one more thing to that one. How this has unfolded for me is, I wish I had, you know, the ability to have her sitting here talking right now, but I don't believe she meant once we experience something, then we know it, then we learned it, then we move on.
Right.
Because certainly I've had some of the same knowings come to me time and time again through experiences. And if I beat myself up for not learning it the first time around, I would be in the same hole of beating myself up, which is what we never want to do. We never want to beat ourselves up, especially when we're suffering, especially when we're going through the most difficult times in our lives. So what I get from this is forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you learned it, is that once you learn it deep, the chances of having a different outcome the next time it comes around are pretty good, are really good. And maybe you need to learn a different version of it, because we're different versions of ourselves every time we show up for life every single day. So just forgiving yourself is what I learned. Forgive yourself. You didn't know. You didn't. You could, when you know better, you do better, she goes on to say. So it's that idea of just forgiving yourself, offering yourself grace, which you talk about a lot, Michelle, on the podcast.
Well, I also think it's the notion of letting yourself off the hook of believing that you're supposed to know everything and be right about everything from the jump of life, as if we're born into life with all of the knowledge, all of the wisdom, and just knowing how to be perfect. You know, it's like that perfectionism vein of being so hard on ourselves when we make mistakes or do something wrong or don't know something like we think we should, as if that's how we come into life. You know, life isn't about knowing it all, but it's about uncovering all of these truths and cultivating these experiences and learning lessons along the way to gain that wisdom. And so I feel like if you're a perfectionist, this is a great one for you, because let yourself off the hook of needing to be right and perfect all of the time, so that when you make mistakes or something happens, you're not so hard on yourself. Because each lesson, each misstep is an opportunity to learn something new and to grow in a different way.
I love that, Michelle. I love it. And then I'm not trying to do this chronologically, but it kind of seems like it's flowing that way a little bit, Michelle.
I like it.
So then early on in my recovery, my mother was diagnosed with cancer in 1991. So she would have been like 50 some years old.
She was young.
Early 50s. She was very young. And so that really took, she was very serious cancer. She had stomach and esophageal cancer and went through this horrific surgery way back then. And so that really took me into a place of the truth of life is that it is impermanent. We are all going to die. And death has kind of always been, I don't want to call it a thing for me. And this is what I usually say, which probably doesn't make any sense to anyone who hears it. But I've always been fascinated with death. And I think we'll do an episode on death. So I won't go into a whole lot of that because I have so much to share about death. It's been something that I've really delved deep into and continue to this day, just reading and understanding. But anyway, so it really put me in that whole framework of that. And one of my closest friends, and actually my best friend, Mary, was used to volunteer at hospice. And we were talking one day and she said, you know, Barb, she said, you know, we talked a lot about my mom and her being sick and me knowing that even though they did surgery and all of that, not her chances of survival were very small. And she was so young. She said to me, you know, when I'm in hospice and I'm checking in on patients and I'm sitting at their bedside, do you know the number one regret that I hear is I wish that I lived the life that I wanted to live and not the life that other people expected of me. And when she said that, it just was like a bomb went off inside of me. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, yes, a resounding yes. So I started doing a little reading on that, which is what I do. And there's a hospice nurse, Bronnie Ware, who has the five, you know, steps that she...
Five regrets of the dying
in hospice. And the number one regret that she discovered in her research and in all of her practice as a hospice nurse is I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. So another aha moment or another door opens into the depths of my being, into the depths of my heart or my soul. And wow, yeah, what is the life that I'm living right now? Am I living a life that is true to myself? Where are places where I'm a version of myself or people pleasing, or so it took me down that whole road of, am I being the authentic self that I want to be? Am I living the life that is true to me? Am I not living, you know, at the thought and the ideas of what other people think of me or what other people think I should be doing? So that took me down that whole path. So if you're someone who is a people pleaser or someone who feels at the mercy of what other people think you should be doing, this quote can really have a huge effect, especially if you're older like I am. And if you're younger, sometimes you think, oh, you know, I've got a lot more years to live. But when I think about my mom, she died 5 years later at 61 years old. When I think about my mom dying so young, and I'm 67 right now, so I've outlived her, which is just, it just has so many layers inside of me of gratitude, but of depth and of, wow, this is really true. Life is impermanent. And so that idea, I wish I had the courage. So it just says help. It's a little stepping stone, this quote, to helping build courage, helping become your own best friend, helping become that person that you are from the inside out. And I hope you can kind of see how all this all fits together to truly start deepening the relationship that you have with yourself. And I'll finish this up, Michelle, and I know you have some things to say about this as well. And it kind of moved me back into poetry when my mom died in a major way. And Mary Oliver, many of you know Mary Oliver. She's been around forever and she's such a beautiful soul. Two of her poems, Swimming One Day in August and The Summer Day, there's, not to read the whole poem, but there's lines. I love to pick up on lines places. I don't have to have the whole thing. I love the line. So in Swimming One Day in August, she said, "It is time now," I said, "for the deepening and quieting of the spirit among the flux of happenings." And then she goes on to say in a different poem, The Summer Day, "Tell me what it is you plan to do with your one wild and precious life." So these all go together with Bronnie Ware's research of, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. So you can see that these are like guiding lights, or they're North Stars, or they're just words that sink deep into the heart that help us in the moments of the day, especially when things get difficult. Okay, am I being my true self right now? How can I be in alignment in this moment with exactly who I am? What is an action that I need to take to stay true to myself? And what is it I plan to do with my one wild and precious life? I ask myself that question often in some of my meditation practices.
I love that. You're really taking us on a journey. I don't even need to say anything.
Well, I'm trying to sort out. I hope this is serving all of you listening.
No, it's not. It's really fun to listen to you piece them all together as sort of a tapestry of life.
Because then when you go straight to, I can go straight to Albert Einstein, you know, insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. When I first heard that, I thought, wow, that's me. No wonder I'm insane. You know, how often do we do the same thing over and over, but we want a different result? And so it just fits right in with what we're talking about when we understand that life is impermanent. Okay, wait a minute. I just did this and this was the result. I just did this and this is the same result. I just did this and I acted this way. So it kind of stops you dead in your tracks where you have to take a pause eventually. And that's, you know, forgive myself for not learning what I didn't know before I learned it. Like, okay, wait a minute. Let me just take a pause here. Let me take a deep breath. I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result in the same situation for the most part. Mm-hmm. What can I do differently in this moment? What is causing me to do the same thing? It's a habitual reaction that I'm having right now. Let me take a moment and take a breath. And what can I do differently that starts to break that habitual reaction that I have? Because I've been reacting this way my whole life, often we might say to ourselves. What can I do differently just in this moment? And let me see what the result might be.
They do all tie together in a very nice way.
And now I want to lead to this one.
I know, you just take the wheel.
Well, I want to lead to this one
because Barb's journey.
Because you talk about this often. And I would love for
you. I can't wait.
Yeah, you talk about this often, becoming your own best friend.
Mm-hmm.
I think in your journey, and in your practice for all of these years, you have truly embraced that saying, I want to become my own best friend. This is really a must in life. You know, living my life from the inside out, being my own friend first as I step into the day. And so this quote from Carl Jung, I got this from one of my therapists decades ago, and it changed me. All these changed me. I keep saying the same thing over and over. All these changed me, but it changed me because it leads right into what you talk about so often, Michelle, trusting ourselves completely, loving ourselves completely, becoming our own best friend. So Carl Jung said this, your vision will become clear only when you look into your heart. Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens. Actually, I'm going to cry. This idea that we can't only look outside. Of course we have to look outside. Of course we live in the external world, but we have to always begin by looking inside. We have to develop that practice of looking inside, of awakening to our heart, knowing what is our heart's desires, knowing what are we feeling in this moment? What is our true self? What are we doing with our one wild and precious life? You know, what is the life that is true to me and not what other people are telling me that I need to do or how I need to be? And so I always think of this, Michelle, for you, because I think this is what you've been embodying in your life. How do I get deeper into who I am from the inside out? And what I love Carl Jung saying here, our vision becomes clear. Like it's what, then that leads back to what Scott Peck said. Mm-hmm. Once we really truly believe and accept that life is difficult, it no longer matters because our vision has become clear. The outside world is unpredictable. It's impermanent. It's constantly changing. It's hard. But that doesn't really matter that it's hard. What matters is me looking into my heart. My vision is clear now. I can see, okay, what do I need to do? What is the step that I need to take to stay in alignment with my truth, to affect the result that I'm looking for? Instead of doing the same thing over and over again and becoming insane. Can you see how all these weave together? It all just weaves together.
And so that I love how they all tie into each other. It's
and
really
that's
cool.
The whole point of it. That's why I say they're all self-contained. And then as you start to practice or as you start to become who you are from the inside out and that journey of going inward, you start to recognize, oh my gosh, now I get why Carl Jung said this and look at what Scott Peck said and Maya Angelou said. And so I think I just want to move to you for a second, Michelle, let you do some talking. That idea that who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens. We have the dream, but we have to go inside and awaken the dream from within. The dream can't only live outside. It has to live inside of us. It has to be born inside of us. And then we start to take the actions and the steps that we need to take to awaken that dream in the outside world. Once it's already awakened in the inside.
Well, I think you explained it beautifully. It for me, it's becoming more honed into, I guess, like you've been saying, the life that Bronnie Ware said. So often, especially if you're younger, we think we have so much time and, you know, we don't know when our life will end, but life can be a long marathon. And so we think we have time and there's chapters and phases of life that we can go through and experiment and try different things. And the Bronnie Ware quote of living your life for other people is really powerful for me because I spent a lot of my younger years doing that. And while I don't regret it, because, you know, we had that episode a while back of no time is ever wasted. It takes what it takes. You learn things from it. It's great to get that lesson early on that this is your life. Obviously, we show up for life in community, in connection with other people. We're not alone on this island or alone on this earth. And we do have to experience life with other people. And influence through other people and in community with other people. But your life is your life. And so, again, with the concept of not being able to control what happens in the external world and what's going on around us in every situation, but starting to take ownership of our own individual lives and feeling like, yes, this is my life. This is mine. This is the one thing that I have ownership of in this wild world. Again, Mary Oliver, what do I want to do with it? What do I want my life to look like? How do I want my life to feel? How do I want the energy of my life to impact other people? Having that mindset and taking that control almost, or having that ownership of it, can help you feel a bit more in control and more grounded, and that almost give you like that sense of pride of your own life, that, you know, having a life well lived, which I know there's another quote that you talk about, a life well lived. And so that does lead to this Carl Jung quote that you were saying, your vision will become clear when you look into your heart. Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens, because you're connecting with yourself in this way of tapping into what you want, your values, your desires, rather than letting the external world lead you. And I think that's just a really powerful, grounded way to live. And it does lead to that mindset of your path is your path. How can I trust my path and start to love my path? Knowing that, again, going back to Scott Peck, it's going to be difficult. It's going to take me on some wild journeys. It's going to lead me to feeling pain and suffering, but it's mine. And how can I have that ownership of it and pride for it almost, because it's mine and it was meant for me.
And I think that's the epitome, Michelle, of really creating and connecting to living your life from the inside out. We have to have a connection from within. And, you know, I heard that in treatment. I've heard it in all of the books that I've read, and it's by truly believing it and practicing it and understanding it. And, you know, the Einstein doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, and understanding, wait a minute, there's got to be something to this. I think there is something to this. Let me keep exploring my life from the inside out. Let me keep connecting to my heart. Let me keep, I'm scared to feel some of the feelings that I have when life is really, really hard and difficult, but let me sit and do it anyway, at least just for a moment. And you start to build that muscle. You talk about building that muscle from within. You start to build that muscle that is courage. And then you start to have confidence. You say, wait a minute, I got this. I mean, I don't have it in this moment forever, but I got this in this moment. And I can have another moment like this. And I can have another moment like this. Wow, I survived this moment of feeling this horrendous pain and suffering and fear and anxiety or whatever it was. I came out the other side unscathed. And I actually learned a couple of things. Those are the things I think that you and I are always talking about, Michelle, that we want to share. You know, every week we come on this podcast is like, these are the things that we can do. Mm-hmm. These are the little things that we can do that are big things. These are, you know, they happen from the inside out, but they actually start from the inside out. But then you have to go outside and look at, okay, now what's happening out there so that I can actually feel the feelings that are deep within, or vice versa. I'm feeling the feelings, but I'm scared. Wait, what's happening out there that's making me scared so I can actually feel confident to feel the feelings? And I think that, you know, to end this episode, because you're right, there's so much here. Maybe we'll do part two next week. I've got so many more good ones to share that all stay in alignment with this.
Sure.
And I know you're so good at, you know, putting all this in the notes and letting people know what the quotes are and stuff. Because I'd really like to end with this last one in the chain of another probably 20. This last one, because it really is profound for me as well. When my mother died, you know, I was young. You know, she was 61. And so
How old were you?
Well, she had me when she was 29. So
she had you when you were,
wait a minute.
No, you had me when
wait
you
were. Wait a minute. I had you when I was 29. Excuse me. She had me when she was 18, 17 or 18.
18.
Yeah. She was very young.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I know that?
Very young. So you know, I was in my late 30s. Let's just say that probably. I was in my late 30s. So I was young. I went into treatment when I was 28. I was in my late 30s when my mom died, or early 40s. And I remember one morning waking up thinking, oh my gosh, I'm getting old. I don't know why I thought that. I don't know why that came to me. What am I doing with my life? What do I need to do with my life? What do I want to do with my life? Oh my gosh, because her dying at 61 was such a wake-up call. But I had been doing the path for all these years. So it's so interesting the way the mind works like that. But there was this overwhelming feeling that I had was, oh my gosh, I don't want it to be too late. Wow, I need to get going. And I'm a type A personality anyway. Oh, come on, Barb, get going. And I ran across this quote, and a friend of mine gave me this quote because I think she could feel the anxiety that I was feeling, like I need to get on. What am I doing with my one wild and precious life? All the things that we've already talked about this morning in this episode. And she gave me this quote from George Eliot. It's never too late to be what you might have been. It's never too late to be what you might have been. I remember hearing that thinking, it's never too late. We're never too old and it's never too late. Certainly it might be too late for me to have children, maybe at age 50 or whatever it is. But I mean, there are some things, but that doesn't mean that it's too late for me to be what I might have been. And I kind of translated that into my mind as, it's never too late, Barb. Just be confident and know what you're capable of. Because I think so often we think it's too late. And that for me, when I would say that to myself back then, oh my gosh, Barbara, you're running out of time. It's too late. You're running out of time, in that very obsessive way that was not helpful. Mm-hmm. I was discounting my own ability. I was discounting my own confidence. I was discounting what I'm capable of. I was discounting who I am from the inside out. And so what I realized is I was allowing the external world to impose its, come on, get going. You got to go. You're getting up there in age. You're running out of time. And I know probably deep within me, I had one therapist say to me, well, your mom died at 61. So it's very natural, Barb. It's very natural, Barb, that in your early 40s, you would start to feel like you were running out of time. You know, that's just a mindset, or that's a feeling from the trauma of your mother dying at 61 years old. So I just want to share that as a closing, that if you're feeling like you're running out of time, or you feel like you're not actually being who it is you are from the inside out, and you're feeling like it's too late, it's not even running out of time. It's that feeling, oh, it's too late. For me, that ended up putting me into a mindset of poor me. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh,
victim.
Why didn't I do what I wanted to do sooner? And so if those words resonate for you and they start to come into your being like, oh my gosh, it's too late, take a pause and understand it really is never too late to be the best version of who you are today. And I think that's where we do ourselves a disservice when we hear these quotes or we hear the words. And we think, well, of course it's too late. Someone said that to me. That's why I used that analogy. Someone said, well, Barb, when I was in my 50s, you're 50 some years old. It's too late for you to have a baby. And I'm like, that's not what that means. Of course it's too late for me to do certain things, but it's never too late in life to be the version and the best version of who you are in the moment right now. So for me, the words too late are triggers, actually. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of the right word. They can be triggers because it gets me in a path of, oh, it's too late for anything. You know, especially if you're a recovering trauma survivor and a recovering bulimic survivor and all of those things, you know, that's addiction. And addiction is, it's all or nothing. You know, it's kind of that one extreme to another, that, and you have to try to find that gray area in the middle. For me, That has been a constant in my life, finding that gray part, finding that middle path. And wait a minute, it's not too late for many, 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 many things. And it's not too late for the most important things that matter to me in this present moment. So I say that it's never too late to be what you might have been. All of that being in the present moment, understanding what's happening for you right now in this moment. And so I like to translate that as, I'm discounting what I'm capable of. And it's never too late to know what I'm capable of and to be the best version of who I am in this present moment.
Well, and it's never too late to live that life that you wanted to live, like Bronnie Ware says, and not the life that others are expecting of you.
Yes.
You can always, you know, wake up in the new day and choose something different.
Yes. And in that moment, you can go look into your heart, take a pause, go look into your heart and awaken what that truth or what that reality is for you in the present moment.
And just that knowing that you have choice in each day and each moment, and you can choose something different in actions or in thoughts or in beliefs or in any aspect of choice. That's really a source of power, and power, yeah. Not control, but power. And so I think it's comforting to know that.
Thank you.
Wow, what an episode, Mom. Thank you for sharing all of those with us and weaving us this beautiful tapestry and taking us through this journey. And I know that you have some more, so perhaps we will revisit the rest of your list in a future episode, because I really did love hearing you tie these all together. And it is fascinating how they all do kind of come together and tell a story and really show how to walk through life, really. Give us a path.
Thank you. And thank you, Michelle, for suggesting this and giving me this platform to be able to do it.
And thanks for being with us, even though I know you've been sick. I know you're about to have a coughing fit. So we'll let you go take care of yourself, Mom. Sorry if you can hear her. Thank you, everyone. That was perfect timing. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Mom, for sharing your insights and wisdom and stories and inspirations and quotes that have really helped guide you along your life and to give us inspiration to live ours. I'm so grateful as she's running to take care of herself. And thank you all for listening to the show and being part of our community. We're so grateful and we love each and every one of you. And don't take your presence and care and kindness for granted. It means so much to us. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the show whenever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. So you're always up to date on each new episode and you don't miss a thing. If you're loving the show, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review. It's really helpful for us and for the show, and it means so much to us to hear your feedback and thoughts. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or want to request a podcast topic, follow us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, or at Barb Knows Best Pod, and send us a message. That's the best way to stay in touch. Lastly, there is a link in the show notes to sign up for our newsletter so that you are up to date on all things Barb, Michelle, and Barb Knows Best. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom, and we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.